Blog Talk Radio.
May be. We want to thank the
kingdom builders and the kingdom daughters for allowing myself, Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. I am the co-founder with Christ of the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International here in the City of Glory, better known as the City of Gary, Indiana. And this is the Warfare Hour. Hallelujah. We thank all of you that continue to come and to listen each week for our co-host, Prophet Corey Graddick, for Prophetess Teresa, Evangelist Hannah, and all of the intercessors of the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders, and especially our covering Apostle Leonard Emmons and the Living Way Christian Center family. We bless God for you and for all of you that continue to listen, or actually the Warfare Hour audience that continues to come back each weekend to encourage us to do what God has asked us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. We're blessed again. Got a good rainy night tonight. Nice and cool, calm and collected. And God has given us words to go back and to finish up where we left off on last week and to give you some additional areas of concern. We pray that we be a blessing to you on tonight. And I'm going to see if our co-host was able to come on in. And are you out there, man of God? Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us, and we're going to ask that you would continue to do what you do each week and to grab whatever items that you intend to use, whether it's a pen, pencil, paper, whether you have your own notebook or your own journal that you've been using, so that you can take some notes. Sometimes go through quite a few scriptures, and you may want to write some things down. Sing and enjoy what God has given. Then we recognize that many of you listen to at a later time, and that's wonderful as well, because we just invite you to ask your friends, those that you care about. If there's been a blessing to you, share your blessing with others and let them know about the Warfare Hours. Maybe we could be a blessing to them, and they'll be a support to us as well. Amen. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, we believe this is what God is saying to us, because he does say this to us all the time. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Because then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me in me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and for turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is going to always be with us, and he is going to carry us, bring us out of the captivity of our mind, the captivity of our soul and of our spirit. And he calls us to go there sometime because we may not acknowledge him as Father, or we forget who he is, puts us in a place to remind us that we are his and he is ours. Amen. And so we prepare ourselves by this prayer that we use each week, and it goes something like this. Open thine mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous thing out of thy law. That's Psalms 119 and verse 18. And it just merely petitions the Lord to increase our capacity to understand what it is that we're going to be reading and his word. And so we say the word Ephatha, which is being opened unto you, that your ears might hear and understand, and all you're getting, get understanding of those things which God has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This has been a wonderful week. We petition you to prepare yourself to go to the polls in the next few weeks, and but to petition God to ask you, or to ask him what his desire is for you. Each one of us have our own journey to travel, and God places so many wonderful things in our path. And that's what I love about the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders. For every single day of the week, they have someone on the air that is talking about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're talking about fighting the good fight of faith, of warfare. We had our own Apostle Emma's on Tuesday. And glorious time in the Lord. And you know, sometimes, you know, you got to steal a little bit from what you hear, because it just stays and resonates in your consciousness all week, you know, and it just carries you. So we pray that some things that we have been sharing with you over the past year resonates in your hearts and your minds and your soul, and that you have been using some of our tidbits, some of our scriptures that God has placed in our heart, and that you claim those scriptures as your own. See, we believe that failure is not an option here at the Voice of Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministry. We believe that because we believe that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We do everything that we can to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman which needed not to be ashamed, but rightly or righteously divide the word of truth. We believe that because we trust in the Lord with all our heart. We really try not to lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge God so that he can lead, guide, and direct our path. We do seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that all these things, which is everything else that's included on the earth, will be added unto us. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the fivefold ministry. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit as identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, as well as those that's really listed all in chapter 12 and also chapter 13, verse 2. We pray every week for the marriages of the apostolic and prophetic, but especially of the natural, because we believe in repetition. We believe in some things that God places before us that it becomes a habit. We want to take away the old habits that we've had, and we want to renew our mind as God has declared in his word. We believe in helping the widows and the orphans, and we are a champion for those, for the children. God is a champion for the children and the fatherless, especially. God has given us a mandate for us to heal the sick, to raise the dead, but especially to cast out devils. And so in the warfare hour, it is our intention to give you the tools, the weapons, that you need and that you can use daily, every minute, every hour, every second to fight the enemy. We recognize that the enemy is going to come at us because he's a dirty, low-down dog. He's going to come at us at our weaknesses. He's going to come at us. He's not going to come at us through our strengths. And so we caution you to be aware of those things that you're not strong in. And those are the things that we incline for you to work on. it's very easy for us to work on those things that we are familiar with. It's easy to go to the same scriptures. I know many of you may say, well, Apostle Clark, you use a lot of the same scriptures each week. But I'll say this to you, the repetition of consistency places in a person's mind, heart, and soul those things which they will be able to use as weapons, as well as the ability to know those scriptures, to use those scriptures at command. And many of you have some special scriptures that you use all of the time as well. See, first we need to know who God says that we are. And God has said, you know, many times in the scriptures who we are, but because of where we've been in the ministry, according to whether we are babes in the ministry or whether we've been in the ministry for 40 years or more, sometimes we've been given incorrect information, and sometimes we haven't studied ourselves. And many believe what Mom and them said, what Uncle Joe and them said, what our pastors said. We believe those things. We believe these men and women of God because they, you know, they had a hankering for the Lord. They loved the Lord. They showed through deeds and actions that they really loved the Lord. And so why should we not believe what they were saying? If Mama said it, surely it's the truth. And so what has happened is, this is it's not anything new. The information was always written. It was always written for us to study ourselves, for us to search the scriptures, for us to work on our own soul salvation. When you think about it, we can only be led to where the word is. And so the scriptures tell us to compel them. Compel them. That means go out of your way. Like Mom and them used to do, we got drugged. You know, most of us is drug Christians. You know, we was drugged to church when we was kids. And unfortunately, in one sense, because we were drugged to church, for those of us that went through that circumstance, when we got old enough to make the decision ourselves, we ran. We ran from what we thought was a burden. But it did sustain us in those times when we were weak and when we were sinning without reproach. We had a place to go to call on the Lord. We remembered some things. And the scriptures clearly speak about men, women, boys, and girls that different calamities, circumstances, and convictions, and they called on the Lord and they got an answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get an answer from God, you never forget, especially when there's a revelation that goes forth. On last week, we had a wonderful time talking about what God shared with us in His scripture, His desire for man. We talk about it quite often in Genesis, chapter 1, is how He created man in His image and in His likeness. Because He made His image and likeness, He was a God. He wasn't a dog. He wasn't a cat. He wasn't any of the other animals. He was the creator. He was the omnipotent one, the omniscient one. He was the one that had three portions of Himself, because He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He further went on in other scriptures to demand or to clarify what it was that he intended for us to do. And we look at the signs and wonders and miracles of what man has done in the earth. It has been a wee moon and beyond. Have created some things from the earth, from the things that were left here by God, but the knowledge and the information and the wisdom was gathered together by us touching and agreeing, and we came up with so many wonderful things. But the thing is, we also began to get a little beside ourselves, and we began to get corrupted. And this has been the pitfall and the downfall of man from the earliest of time. The first man, Adam, was wonderful. He was perfect before the fall. You know, we've been praying a prayer here in the ministry, and we've been sharing it with you. We've been making a declaration of how we are blessed as Adam was before the fall. Because before the fall, he was perfect. He was in perfect unity with God. He was in a oneness with God. And that's why when we walk around sometimes, we don't even know why we're drawn to certain things. We're drawn to that oneness and that unity. We want to belong. I often listen to men and women, boys and girls, that say that they don't need anyone. And I look at them like, who created you that you don't need anyone? I think that's what I think when I hear them say those kinds of things, which clearly shows that there's a confusion factor in many of us, because when we believe that we don't need anyone, we could do it by ourselves, then that puts us in a dire circumstance. And it puts us in a position of vulnerability to the enemy. Whenever there's a I or me syndrome, which is what I call it, that's the word according to Carlton right now. When I say I or me syndrome, it puts me in a circumstance of the more I put I or me as the determining factor, the farther away I'm getting from God. The unity, the oneness that is created by that bond between the Father and the Son is lost when I put the I in me as the governing factor. And so I want to share with you how you can overcome the I and the me. Harmony is key. Harmony and unity is just so wonderful. It's a byproduct of love. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave something." For God so loved the world that he gave something. What was it that he gave? That he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. It says that whosoever shall believe on him shall be saved, shall have everlasting life. In the Amplified, it reads like this: "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten," which is classified as unique, "Son, so that whoever believes in or trusts in or clings to or relies on him," which is the Son, "shall not perish," which has come to destruction, to be lost, but have eternal or everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that's a powerful statement that really just exudes the word that I'm speaking of, which is love. John, the first chapter and the first verse sums up something when we begin to think about the Creator. I have a Reese's chronological Bible, and if you, any of you don't have a chronological Bible, I make a recommendation that you add a chronological Bible to your repertoire. And the one reason for that is because there's so many things that as we are studying, that goes from one scripture to another. There's references in one area that goes to another area. And sometimes it helps you to know what books were written first or what information happened in the order that it happened. And a chronological Bible is a fascinating and wonderful exploration through time, the time of Christ, through the time of the children of Israel, through the timeline of this journey that we call Christianity, and the acronym that I use, the BIBLE, the Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth, manual that was left here for us to explore. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And in the Reese's chronological Bible, it talks about creation, and it talks about everything that had anything to do with creation. And so the first scripture in the Reese's chronological Bible is not "in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," but it is this scripture that's listed here in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. It says, "In the beginning," and I'm reading out of the Amplified, and the reason, this is key, because in the Reese's chronological Bible, when it's the reason that he uses this verse is because it talks about in the eternal past. In other words, the word "beginning" is not used, because when you speak of God, there is no a word that really classifies the beginning. You know, there is no beginning. You know, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, is the eternal. The eternal has really no beginning. And so in the eternal past, or the, you know, is a better way possibly of using the word beginning. But here in the Amplified Bible, John the first says, "In the beginning, before all time," okay, "all time, but no time waits for no man," am I right? "Was the Word. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word." I'm reading from John, the first chapter, verse 1, out of the Amplified. "In the beginning, before was the Word." The Word is Christ. "And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself." Now, before I go to the second verse, turn to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and verse 6. Because we're going to do just a little kind of exhaustive study today to go through a few things just to show you how these things match up. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and verse 6. Let's see what that says. Amen. Because we're talking about the Christ. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 6, again, Amplified. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. And it has some further scriptures which you can take a look at your own convenience, which is Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 9 through 11. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Now, we're talking about in the beginning, before all time was the word Christ. We say before all time the word Christ. It was, you know what, we talk New Testament, but it says here in the beginning, the word was God himself. Verse 2 says he was present originally with God. See, people in other denominations want to make a distinction between Jesus Christ, Christ only, God, the Holy Spirit. Some even have the audacity to say that they are different and it's got nothing to do with one another. Moving right along, verse 3 says, all things were made and came into existence, him being the Son, him being the Christ. And without him, and without him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 says, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, which is put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. Again, I was comparing having a logical Bible. These first five verses were beginning in the creation where the foundation of first things that were said. Then it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you can see just by what I read, going back to Genesis and looking at not prepared. So as I was saying, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, in the chronological Bible is one of the first scriptures that's listed. And what we're talking about is how God intended, you know, we were talking about the omniscient God and the beginning of God, how wonderful, how powerful, how creative he was. Man, his image and his likeness. So he made Adam, which was the, you know, the first Adam. Jesus was the last Adam. But according to this, the last Adam was before the first Adam. So I need you to, like, really kind of hang in there with you. The last Adam was before the first Adam. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting to everlasting, the eternal. That's why there is no beginning. I pray that I haven't lost anyone, that you're still able to follow up. God made us in his image and his likeness. Adam, the first Adam, what he did was, in Genesis, the first chapter, it talks about what God did. If you just turn there, right there in the beginning, the first chapter, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The first thing that God did was made a declaration. And according to other scriptures, when God said, let there be light, guess what? Who is the light of the world? Hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is the light of the world. He said, let there be light. He even declared it in the beginning, in the eternal past. Now, the point that I'm making is, first thing that God did was made a declaration. And that declaration affected everything that came from that point on. But then it says, and God saw the light that it was good. Now, I want you to understand that, because God has, when we're talking about God, God has a will. Actually, he has three wills. He has a good will, he has a perfect will, and he has an acceptable will. Right here in the beginning, it says that he saw the light and that it was good. It was his will that the light would be good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He made sure that the light was going to always be able to be different than the darkness, and the darkness would not be able to overcome the light. Because it says right here in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God moved upon the face of the water. Here the God in the scripture is clearly defining himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in the first three verses. Hallelujah. Now, that's why when we went over to John, we showed you how all of this ties in together. First thing that he did when he was born or created was he did the same thing that he saw, or that he was part of, or because he was with God to declare. God showed him the earth, and he said, okay, what is that? And everything that Adam said, whatever he called it, that's what it was. Now, here's what you have to look at when you're looking at signs, wonders, and miracles, because I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to show you how God made us in his image and in his likeness. He made us to do the same things that he did. And because we were on that oneness with him, we was able to do it without even thinking about it. And so when we try to get back to that oneness, that's why we get this feeling on the inside of us that's unbelievable when we are in the Spirit of God. Psalms 133:1, it says, behold how good, again we back to this word good, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, listen to that word brethren. I'm going to stop right there in that Psalms 133, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, last week we were talking about the forecast of the family. You know, we talked about that it's that it will be established and it will be ordained. God's is through the Father to be the spiritual leader in the family. That's where we were going last week. And it's key for us to know that because he created man first. And when he made man, he talked about the what man was. Man was male and female. The female was on the inside of the male. The full essence of life, the ability in the man. The man had to be put to sleep, and that part of him had to be removed and placed in a helpmeet. Because after man declared, as God did, God even saw, God had divided, for lack of a better word, he was complete by being the Son and the Holy Spirit. He recognized, even through the animals that he made a male and a female of every one. And, you know, he looked around, and Adam didn't have anything that was comparable to the love, to the fullness, to the oneness, to the completeness that of who he was on the outside. It was on the inside. And God said, it's not nice, or it's not good for man to be alone. And he caused the man to go into a sleep. So what I was saying earlier is, when people say that they can get by themselves or they don't need anybody, that's not the plan of God. And so, you know, I always wonder that when I hear that, and I want to just tell them about the truth. God foresaw that a righteous father would be a blessing to the family. That's what we talked about. And then we reviewed Psalms 1-4. Well, I want you to go there again because it's key for us to know that we're not just spouting words. We're not just spouting scriptures. We're backing up everything that we say with the Word of God, with cross-referencing, giving you the information. And you can do an exhaustive study yourself and follow up on everything that we've seen. Psalms 112 says, praise the Lord. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, which is happy, fortunate, and to be envied, is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord. Who is the Lord? And see, sometimes when you read the scriptures, you need to know who is talking and who is who. See, if you are running behind the enemy, guess what? Jesus ain't your Lord. So this scripture wouldn't even apply to you, because you wouldn't be blessed, you wouldn't be happy, you wouldn't be fortunate or envied. Because it says here, the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. The man that delights in the commandments of the Father. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse 12. Is the reference scripture for verse 1 to that who delights greatly in the commandments. Verse 2 says, his spiritual offspring shall be mighty upon the earth. God made covenants with men in the Bible. He made promises. And God is going to always honor the promise that he made. But see, we have to perform some action. There's some things we must do in order to reap the benefits of the promises that God has promised. He tells us to worship him. Don't put anyone before him. He left a set of guidelines here. And even though in the Old Testament, you know, it talks about don't do this, don't do that, even in the New Testament, it's broken down even more clearly by just saying, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. So two things have to be interpreted there. One is that God is a jealous God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He talked about love the God, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, soul, mind, and spirit. He said in the Old Testament, in a different way, he said, don't make no false God, don't make no idols, don't make no graven images, don't make nothing that look like me, smell like me, taste like me, don't make anything that represent me but me. I'll be a pillar of fire, I'll be a cloud, I'll show you who I am. Don't make anything, you can't draw me, you can't. And so in the New Testament, he says, he just changed it up a little bit. He said, and he included himself as the Son as well. He said, the Lord thy God, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. So the second part of that reference, you got to be able to love yourself. Understand what loving yourself is, to understand how you love your neighbor. And your neighbor, you notice how he didn't say your brother. In going back to Psalms 133, I said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. To the word brethren, that's where I'm leading up to. Here, God forecast the family. He left the father, which he made in the image and likeness. And then this scripture here talks about the righteousness of the father. And what happens with the righteousness of the father is that the son and the generations come from the son are going to also reap the benefits of the promise. Verse, prosperity and welfare in his house. It's in the house of the man that's righteous. And his righteousness endures forever. When you start doing something in the beginning, it's going to always go. It's easy to, it becomes a habit. And once it becomes a habit, it's easy to do. It becomes part of a lifestyle. Verse 4 says, light arises in the darkness. Then we're back to that light again, the same one that was in Genesis. You cannot get away from light. Light is the key because light endures love. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, talking about being righteous, gracious, compassionate, and just, who are in right standing with God. It's all about doing it because it's what God wants us to do. It's always good to do the will of God. Remember I told you God has three wills. He has a good will, he has an acceptable will, and he has a perfect will. And this good just keeps popping up. Each family should establish an altar unto God. Genesis 25th chapter, verse 1 through 5, and Joshua 24th chapter, verse 15, talks about it. When you establish a altar in your home, it puts you in, when you walk by it, you see it. You know that something good is supposed to happen that is dealing with God. It puts you in the position of worship. And in keeping with the Father as a blessing, Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verse 14, talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. And we talked about that again on last week. And the reason that I go back over some things sometimes, because it's so clear that, especially when we aren't able to finish up on it, it's so clear that some things have to be said more than once. They just have to be said more than once. See, God has a power in the ministry. He tells us what it is that he expects for us to do. And it's up to us to do it. See, when we're obedient and do what God tells us to do, we can be a blessing to everyone. We always want to be able to do exactly what God tells us to do. We were talking about last week, we didn't get into the mentoring portion. But earlier this week, Apostle Emmett was talking about staying in place, sitting under. It's real key for you to know that God has an intention for you. It says it'd be, 10,000 teachers, but not many fathers. You don't see teachers anywhere and everywhere. But God left a fathering system here on the earth. And in that fathering system, those people are mentors. He did it in the Old Testament. Elisha. He had, it was so just so many different, Moses, Joshua. I mean, even the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, had sons. They were to teach the will of God to their sons, and their sons were to teach them and their grandchildren. And that's the way it was supposed to be all the way through where we are right now. And we have to do the same thing. But what has happened is we get, especially in ministry, we get our feelings hurt. And God has planted us in a certain place, coming to God. He planted that place. And he waters us. And he to bring forth the increase. God does not intend for no man, woman, boy, girl to be ministry. But if he plants you there, he plants you there for a reason. He plants you there for a time and for a season, and he will tell you when that season is up. You're there to be mentored by godly men and women. And so we need to wait. We need to continue to sit under and to be patient. God even, set up the world the same way. And so what we begin to see is not what God originally left before he ascended to the Father. Jesus, when he taught his followers, he had 12. His intimacy was with the 12. But there are scriptures where it said he sent his disciples, and it says that he sent out the 70. Say again. So we recognize, and we apologize for these little interruptions, but where we were speaking about how God has established for us to mentor. He figure in the family. And as we just read in Psalms 112, 1 through verse 4. A godly father is a blessing to the family. And so we want to just ensure that you recognize that. That you begin to remember God. We're speaking strictly of the way he designed it. That doesn't mean that he won't use godly women to foster the family. Amen. Doesn't mean that at all. It says, because his word is never going to go out void. But he expects for you to have a wonderful covering, which is the father figure, and that father figure will be the one that be a mentor. There's godly men waiting, and we need to sit under and to get the information that we designed to get from the man of God. That's why he designed apostles, the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. It was not to be an entity separate and now, and we've even heard that there's a dispensation of time and prophets are gone and the apostles are gone, and so now the pastors and the bishops. And I understand in one degree how get confused using that, but then on the other hand, I'm like, why would you entertain something that God has clearly stated going to be here until he comes back. He even gave instructions on how they were to be used. And we talked about those continuing. What I want to share with you is you don't want to get yourself in a pickle or in a bind by prematurely those planets you under. That's what we talked about. Jesus had to wait until it wasn't no coincidence that he started his ministry at age 30. It was all in the plan of God. Everything to us as a day. And he has the same order of planning for us. And when and place yourself in obedience with God, we'll find that the divine order of what he planned for us will also take place. We talked about the family, and we talked about that the family is blessed when they're in unity. We talked about Psalms 133. Remember I was telling you about brethren. When the family lines up with the father, oh my God, it's nothing that can stop you. Absolutely nothing can stop you. God has intended that man would be able to draw and pull on the things of God. He would understand the wisdom of God. Think about what God did what Jesus did with his followers, just to give you a reference. He taught the multitudes with parables, explained it more in detail to the 12. And then after he died, he came back and then he unfolded the rest of the mystery before he ascended to the Father and gave those mysteries to the 12. I also want to share with you that when you sit under and you stay under your mentorship of the fathering system, which is what God left here on as a family, a family unit, family system, father, mother, kids, father, mother, children, you know, as a unit, as a, you know, That love and that want, that wanting, all is part of the ultimate the perfect union of what he left on the earth. That's why two men can't be married, two women can't be married. There's no way you can figure it, no way in the scripture that verifies that. So get off of it, you know, repent. You know, God told us, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that's why we have been sharing with the harmonious marriage prayer. It is almost really that time again that we do pray the harmonious marriage prayer. Because the harmonious marriage prayer has to do with those that are married and those that are married. What? See, what? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. Those of us that are in Christ, we're married to the apostolic and the prophetic. He is the apostolic, he is the apostle of apostles. And we are the prophetic, are the bride. So even if you are unmarried in the physical, I don't use the word. You're unmarried. You still are married to Christ. All of us are married to Christ. And so you can read this harmonious prayer. You can pray this harmonious prayer with the marriage of the apostolic and the prophetic in mind. So no one is left out. And so we share this with you every week for you to believe that this is one way that you can be a blessing and receive blessing by saying the prayer, believing the prayer, believing in the love, and seeing those things that are not as though that they are. Because that's the essence of faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Ooh. Sometimes we do that a little bit too fast, and I think everybody gets it. It says, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. Hallelujah. Because you are in us, we acknowledge that love reigns supreme. Glory be to your name. We believe that love is displayed in full expression, enfolding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect for every good work, to do your will, whether it's good, perfect, or acceptable. Working in us that which is pleasing in your sight. Hallelujah. Oh, God, my God. We live and conduct our marriage of the apostolic, but especially of the natural, oh, God, honorably and becomingly. Father, we esteem it as precious and worthy and of great, great price. Father, we commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being of the same mind and united in spirit. Oh, God, oh, God. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle. Father, we believe and say that we are passionate. Father, we believe and say that we are courteous. Father, we believe and we say that we are tenderhearted. And Father, we believe and say,
my thing.
Creator of the universe, maker of